Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. Have you heard of NAD+? If not, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD+ is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. As we age, NAD+ levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD+ therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improved focus, and enhanced recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free. And the best part? It's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. You know, it's all about the wellness and longevity, people. You can start your journey, too, along with Tab and me from the comfort of your own home with Effecty. I really appreciate how user-friendly and informative and transparent the Effecty site is. You know upfront exactly what you are paying for, and everything they offer is backed by rigorous research and testing, ensuring safety and efficiency. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD plus longevity treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are housewives of true crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Welcome.
Where we talk true crime, if you didn't know. But for the first 7 minutes, we just chat. So if you like chat, which a lot of people do, keep listening. But if you don't, just fast forward.
I think we have a lot to chat about. I mean, you went to the zoo, so that's always eventful. And we have a Sherry Papini update.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk Sherry first, and I'll tell you about my crazy zoo experience.
Okay. So Sherry admitted her guilt, released a statement. We learned that in addition to the GoFundMe and the California Victims Fund, she also took $130,000 from disability, and she's got to pay a whole lot of money to restitution. So I've been giving this some thought, Tab. I have some suggestions.
For her?
Yes.
Okay. I would love to hear it because I'm pretty sure she listens to us.
Okay, so I was thinking OnlyFans. I mean, we saw those pictures of her hot ass.
You are so right.
She's into that shit, you guys. I saw the pictures of her in lingerie. She's holding a gun. Just saying. I bet she could pay that shit off.
Oh my God.
Quick.
You are so right. Everybody was saying a book deal, but I think OnlyFans will make it.
Oh, I think
much
it's better.
Quicker and easier.
Much quicker. Also, I mean, maybe a cameo if she's, you know, not naughty enough to do OnlyFans. Cameo's fine.
I think
fine.
She is. I think
Listen,
she. Did you just ask if she's naughty enough to do OnlyFans? The chick made up when she was kidnapped to go, you know, sleep with her ex-boyfriend.
Well, I also think she is the perfect candidate for like a television show on the WE Network. Like maybe her and Keith could go to marriage boot camp. Or
that's a good idea.
Big Brother, even something. I mean, I'm here for it. I'll watch. And you don't have to feel guilty about watching it. Because you, if you know the money is going towards the restitution, then it's like a win-win. Right?
Oh my God. Only you, girlfriend, would think all of that. But I'm down for it. I think you're on to something.
Okay, just saying. Okay, let's hear about the zoo.
Okay, so let me tell you something. You know that expression, like, it was a zoo?
Yeah.
This literally was that expression.
Yeah,
First of all, we go to the Fort Worth Zoo, and our school has 4 buses, okay? So big,
that's a
big
lot
group.
Of kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 47 other school districts also had 4 buses.
Oh.
47 school districts.
Oh, my God.
It was bananas. There was an accident on the freeway. So our, you know, we had the chaperones drove separate. So we took the expressway and the buses don't get to do that. So it took them over 2 hours to get there. And the kids had about an hour. Some of them had an hour at the zoo. Some of them had an hour and a half. And that's not even including lunch. I mean, it was such a disaster. And it was so busy. It was like finagling humongous crowds. It was the worst experience anybody could ever have at a zoo. And the animals, I think, were like, what in the Sam hell is happening up in this hizzy? Let me tell you something else.
Okay.
I got a note after on our Instagram from a listener, and she also had her kid go to the same Fort Worth Zoo for a field trip. And when she got there, they oversold it, and so they sent them away.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah, that's no good.
Believe that?
I can't believe it. I thought you were going to come back with one of those stories like, you know, one of the apes put its nuts on the glass or something for all the children or...
We would have been happy with that.
Yeah, lion like peed on them or something.
No, the lions. Oh, my gosh. By the way, remember that Santa Barbara Zoo, that lion would pee on everybody?
Yeah.
Like a big old sign.
That's good stuff. Childhood memories that last a lifetime.
Oh, my gosh. No, there were some amazing gorillas. The zoo is amazing. There was a couple bummer parts, which was the big cats enclosure down. No big cats, Gretchy.
No big cats. That is a drag.
Total drag. The only big cat was a mountain lion, which I've seen in person. I mean, not that it wasn't in person, but I've seen it, you know, not behind a cage. And yeah, and I had a little boy in my group that I didn't know. And so there was just so many people. I was always like, my anxiety was so high because it's like, I can't lose this kid.
Now, I did give you a job. Did you find out if they serve cocktails?
So funny you asked that question. Because one of our listeners also said, don't forget to find out if they have alcohol, where there were so many people at the zoo.
Thank you, listener.
Could not get myself to a place to see if they had alcohol, but I started asking random people, which probably looked real bad as I was chaperoning children from school.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
But I'm like, excuse me, do you know if they serve alcohol at this zoo? And the answer that I got was, yes, they do, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just do a do-over.
Yeah.
Sometime.
And my other kid doesn't get to go to the zoo next week for his field trip. I just got that phone call that they're not, you know, they think he's a risky child to take on a field trip. So I will be taking him separately on some occasion. So, you know, he doesn't feel so sad about himself. Not on Friday, but you
know, good idea.
A different day.
Good idea.
So maybe we'll go together, Gretchy, and we'll get a beer.
That would be lovely. Oh, and before we get into the story, I think we should give a quick shout out to our listener, Elise, who is Marcel, who has been our listener from the get.
You've got the back surgery, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hope you're feeling,
so we're thinking of you. Speedy recovery. Yeah.
And, I was just thinking, you were asking about podcasts and all this things to watch. Handmaid's Tales, if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. She's been bugging me to watch that for years.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the story.
Yes. Okay, today's case is Pam Hupp.
The thing about Pam? I didn't know it was today's
AKA
case. Yes.
The thing about Pam. Yeah.
So excited.
We have been asked to cover this case for a while, and my initial feelings were we try to do mostly the cases that aren't so common. And also, Dateline just did such an outstanding podcast called The Thing About Pam with Dreamboat Keith Morrison. And so, who can compete with that? Then what happened was the scripted show with Renee Zellweger came out, and I started watching it, and it's so good. And then, like I do, I went down kind of a rabbit hole to find out what's the latest. And I realized that I had forgotten so much, and so much has been updated in the last couple years. And so I thought, well, maybe y'all are feeling the same way as me if you listened to it back when it came out a couple years ago. And so it's time to talk some Pam.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Okay. So here we go. This case takes place in Troy, Missouri. It's a town of about 13,000. It's an hour from St. Louis, and so it seems like a real nice place to live. You can buy a decent home there for $200,000. Pam was living there with her husband, Mark, and two children when she befriended a coworker of hers at an insurance agency named Betsy Faria. Betsy was married to a man named Russ, and the two were raising her daughters together from a previous relationship. Betsy was a disco biscuit. Oh, okay. I have to tell you this thing. So I was running yesterday, and I was wearing my disco biscuit tank top, and this guy stopped me, and he was like, "Hey, you're not old enough to know what a disco biscuit is."
he was thinking drugs.
I thought, you're not young enough, sir. Yeah.
Yes. Two different things, two different eras.
Yeah. But I appeased him. I said, I sure am. So friends say Betsy was a real good time, and I'll bet she was, because you know what she did? She had a side hustle as a DJ.
Oh, that's so fun.
That's so fun. So, she knew how to get a party started.
Yeah.
So basically, Betsy was the life of the party until she couldn't be anymore because she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And there was a short period of time where she was celebrating being in remission, but sadly, the cancer came back and it was terminal. So she was prolonging the time she had left doing chemo. Which is where Pam steps in. Pam was there for Betsy to give her rides or whatever when she wasn't feeling well, like any good girlfriend would do. But Pam also did a little extra, like agree to be the beneficiary of Betsy's life insurance policy because she wanted to make sure for her friend that Russ and the girls didn't blow through all that money. By the way, it was $150,000. So it's not that much money.
No.
The way I see this is you can either take this one of two ways. One is that Russ must have been a real piece of work for his terminally ill wife not to trust him to be responsible with her life insurance. Or you could see it as, wow, this Pam is the real piece of work manipulating her friend to control monies that rightfully belong to her family. And unfortunately, most people thought Russ must have been a real piece of work and not that Pam was a master manipulator. But I'll get back to that. So on one of those days that Pam drops off Betsy at her house after chemo, Russ came home to find Betsy was dead. Betsy had been stabbed 55 times. So most of her wounds were concealed by her clothing, but there was a knife in her neck and her wrists were slashed. Russ's reaction to finding her was interesting. He called 911 and said he had just come home and his wife had killed herself, which is an unusual way to describe someone that has been stabbed 55 times.
Yeah. Did he see the 55 times or did he just see the one in the neck?
He says he just saw the wrist slashed, a lot of blood. Most of her wounds were concealed. Mm-hmm. He is very upset on the phone. He doesn't sound like
he did it.
Yeah, no, but it is just an unusual, you know, thing to say, right?
Yeah.
So immediately suspicion turns to Russ. I mean, and that's part of why, right? Which is also weird because it's like she was already dying. Was he that impatient if he really wanted her dead? You would think they would be asking that. Well, investigators didn't think so. Despite Russ having an airtight alibi and not having blood on him or showing signs of some kind of struggle, Russ was interrogated by detectives and he did fail the polygraph.
Dude, I'm doing a case right now where the chick failed the polygraph too and I don't think she was guilty.
Yeah, you know, so things aren't looking good for him, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're interrogating him and the evidence that they had when they tried to get a confession out of him was that there was a pair of his slippers that had blood on them. It looked like someone actually dipped them in blood and there were no footprints in the house, which was mostly carpet, by the way. Mm-hmm. And there was also some blood on a light switch, but it wasn't his.
Yeah.
None of his blood was found. Okay. So there was no sign of someone taking a shower or washing anything. Like the sinks were everything was completely dry. And when the ambulance arrived, Pam's body was already cold and stiff. So it was clear that she'd been gone for a while. And four people vouched for where Russ was, and he had receipts for all the places he had stopped on the way home. So the time frame for him to have done this to Betsy was like a real stretch. So why would they laser focus on Russ as the suspect? Well, for one, obviously, he's the husband, right? And for two, they had a little birdie named Pam in their ear.
Mm.
Pam was questioned by the police because she was with Betsy that night and she had all kinds of disparaging things to say about Russ. To the authorities, when she explained that the last time she saw Betsy, she had left her wrapped up in a blanket at her house. She said that Russ liked to play this game with Betsy where he would put a pillow over her face so she knew what it was going to be like when she died.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds whack. She also said that Betsy was going to talk to Russ about moving in with her family until she passed, and she was scared to do it because Russ was like such a maniac. So Pam said, oh, yeah, he's so crazy. He got in my face before. And she thought that he also could have been super PO'd that Betsy had, you know, changed the life insurance policy just 4 days ago. So, you know, she was giving them all kinds of tea. So police thought, like, what an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So Russ ended up being charged and convicted of killing Betsy. Pam.
Is he in jail?
Okay.
Did he go to jail?
Okay. Slow your roll.
Okay. Sorry.
We're going to get there. Okay. So Pam testified at the trial that she had set up a trust for Betsy's daughters with the money. And so she had nothing to gain. Right? Like, I'm just a friend, you know?
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, Pam, and why they definitely say like the thing about Pam. She's got one of those smirks, like, I don't know, Gwyneth Paltrow kind of has that smirk, you know, where they just give this like knowing kind of look all the time, like, that can't be true, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's very confident. And okay. She just looks like, you know, your average.
You can believe her.
Yeah, your average, you know, kind of Midwestern, country, middle-aged lady.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, Betsy's daughters also testified at the trial about the nature of their mother's relationship with Russ, and it wasn't marital bliss. Betsy and Russ had had their ups and downs over the years. Russ had cheated on Betsy at one point, and that combined with the fact that Russ smoked the pot and played video games with his friends, like, led the prosecution to put his character through the ringer. I mean, I'm thinking probably a lot of husbands smoke pot and play video games.
Probably more than
yeah. I mean, but they made that sound like, gosh, what a loser, right?
What a loser.
Okay. So people are so quick to judge. Okay. Anyways.
Not that our husbands do.
No, our husbands don't. I wish my husband would just sit down and, you know,
smoke a doobie or play a video game. Which one?
No, I don't know. I don't really give a shit about the video games, but he would just like smoke a doobie and
take a chill pill.
Yeah. He gets drug tested. He was really into, he was never into pot ever, but it's not in his nature. Okay, so Russ's character really goes through the ringer, but his close family and friends believed he was innocent, and so did his attorney, Joel Schwartz. Okay, side note, in the scripted version, Josh Duhamel, a.k.a. Fergie's ex-husband, plays him.
And he's so cute.
Oh, my God. He is just as dreamy as ever. And I haven't seen him in anything in a minute, and he really killed it on the show. Also, I looked up the real Joel Schwartz. And you know what he looks like? He kind of looks like that smiley preacher man, Joel Osteen, who I find him to be like the least fuckable man on the planet.
Oh, my God.
Am I wrong? I don't think so.
I don't think you're wrong. No.
I don't think I'm wrong. So,
I don't think he's the least. I can probably think of a few more.
Least. Okay. So while I found Joel Schwartz to be brilliant, I also kind of felt sorry for him. Just saying. Okay.
Because of his looks? And then they get
because
Josh Duhamel to...
No. Because that's what he reminded me of. We'll post a side-by-side. I just thought that was unfortunate.
Okay. But then they get the hottest guy like on the planet to play him.
So he should be real stoked on
he
that.
He should be happy. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So I was telling you about how Russ was found guilty, but his attorney was determined to prove his innocence still, and he actually did. So there you go.
Okay.
He was able to get Russ a new trial because all this shady business that had come up at another trial, which entailed Betsy's daughters suing Pam for the insurance money that Pam had testified at Russ's trial that she had put in a trust for them. Well, since Pam had testified that, her story has changed. Now, she said that actually she never meant to give the money to the girls, that the prosecutor told her to put the money in the trust and, like, just say that for Russ's trial. You know, because that's totally on the up and up, right?
You should totally lie.
Yeah, you should totally lie. Prosecutors should totally tell you to lie. Okay. So, Betsy was able to just revoke that shit, keep the money for herself. And sadly, Betsy's daughters lost their attempt to get the money. And I think we all can agree it was rightfully theirs, but the judge's hands were tied because Betsy had made Pam the beneficiary. There were no signs that she, you know, had signed it under duress or anything, and she didn't include provisions. So it's like paperwork. So when Pam won that court battle, she must have thought she was just untouchable. But it was because of her admitting under oath that she had been less than truthful at Russ's trial that Russ was able to get another one. So at the second trial for Russ, Pam testified that there was a very good reason why Betsy would have left her so much money. And that was that her and Betsy were the lovers. Mm-hmm. She actually said during her testimony that it's not like they were lesbians because they only had sex with each other. But for Pam, personally, I mean, she likes men. She likes Magic Mike all day.
Okay. But likes only Betsy as a woman.
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
But she likes Magic Mike just like you. You have something in
common. Oh, she actually says she likes Magic Mike.
She actually said she liked Magic Mike in her testimony.
Oh, well, you know, I don't blame her. Really.
You don't blame her. Yeah. So you guys have something in common with Pam Hupp. You should be so thrilled. Okay. So this new spin on Betsy and Pam's relationship kind of threw everyone for a loop because it was like, wow, that was really out of left field. I think it's when people also started to see the unbelievable lengths that Pam would go to explain herself. You know, it just didn't come off believable. It's like, I mean, she kept saying, well, it's not like we're lesbians. It's just with each other, you know? It was like, okay, if you're going to lie, go all the way, right?
Well, it's almost like, what, did one of them put, like, strap one on? Or, like, makes it not lesbianic?
I don't know. It was just, it wasn't working for her. Okay, so it came off like, you know, Pam's a liar. And if she would lie about doing the no pants dance with her terminally ill married friend, then maybe she was not so credible when it came to all of her other claims, like Russ being violent and the last time she saw Betsy was curled up cozy in a blanket. Now, there's also another reason why the tide had really kind of turned against Pam, and that was that Dateline had picked up the story and had been following Russ's trial. Pam had developed a little rapport with the Dateline producer named Kathy, though she never gave her an interview. Kathy discovered, while she was doing her research, you know, in town, that Pam's mother, Shirley, had died in a freak accident recently. And Pam collected the insurance money from that, wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know?
Now, Pam has never been charged for anything regarding her mama's death, but it's sus. Basically, the Pam mama was at a nursing home, and Pam stopped by for a visit. On her way out, she told the staff that mama was real tired, and so she wouldn't be down for dinner. The next day, mama was found dead from apparently falling from her balcony through some broken bars. She also had more than 8 times her prescribed amount of Ambien in her system. So Dateline like hired a structural engineer to check out the balcony.
Yes.
And he concluded that it would have taken a massive amount of force to break through the bars that, you know, old mama lady just
doesn't have.
Yeah.
Probably has osteoporosis, not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pam looks like extra sus. Plus, word on the street is that Pam's relationship with her mama was not good. It actually sounds like Pam's mama was pretty awful. And so it's like maybe the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And that's why Pam is so heartless. Still, you know, it's unlawful to go murdering mean old ladies. So I would love to see an investigation that looked into Pam being charged with, you know, her mama's murder. But anyways, okay. So the whole Pam story just won't quit, right? Because after Russ was exonerated, they aired a follow-up Dateline episode about it. And the peeps in Pam's hood started treating her, you know, some kind of way on based on what the episodes insinuated, which...
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Do you ever look back on how you've spent money and thought, I wonder what would have happened if I would have invested that? I have definitely spent my fair share on impulse buys that could have added up if I had invested instead. You know, people say that's why the best investor is a dead investor. Why? Because dead investors can't make rash decisions. They can't pull their money out in a panic every time they hear about a dip in the market. Dead investors are invested for the long term, you know, because they're dead. Well, Acorns is built to help you invest for the long term, and you don't even need to be dead. You can start automatically investing with the spare change you've got right now, even if it's just spare change. Let time do its thing, because the longer you stay invested, the more of a chance your money has to grow. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/clink. Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms. So IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Obviously, is that Pam should be a suspect in now... two deaths, you know, her mama and Betsy. Okay. Also, there was a new DA running for office, and a big part of his platform was that the previous DA that prosecuted Russ ignored evidence and committed other acts that she should be investigated for in the way of prosecutorial misconduct. So, like, his local commercials are airing, and it's got everyone talking about Pam. So, Pam did not appreciate now getting the side eye when she ran her errands all over town. And so, she came up with a plan. It's the most batshit crazy plan ever. Okay?
Okay.
She started trolling low-income neighborhoods to find someone she could con into being part of her attempt to, again, frame Russ Faria. She would approach people and tell them she was a Dateline producer named Kathy, right? But she knew there was a Dateline producer named Kathy.
Right.
That was looking for people to make sound bites of 911 calls. And she would pay them $1,000 to do the reenactment for her. We know that she drove around doing this for a couple days because of her cell phone data. And more importantly, because one of those people she approached was a badass boo named Carol. Okay. Carol, at first, you know, heard Pam out. But she went with her gut, and despite Pam's pleas that she was going to pass up some quick, easy money, Carol smelled a rat. So she got out of Pam's car, went back in her house, grabbed a knife, and told Pam, no thanks. Pam was still not trying to take no for an answer, but then she realized that Carol had a camera pointed right at her car. And she said to her, oh, hell, you've got a camera? And Carol told her, yeah, I do. And I also have a knife in my pocket and I know how to call 911. And after that, Pam bounced. Like, can you imagine that happening? Like, so bizarre. Right?
Yeah.
Like, what is this crazy lady going around trying to get people to get in her car for? Well, sadly, Pam approached another person who didn't have the instincts that Carol did. His name was Louis Gumpenberger. Louis.
I feel so bad for that last name.
The last name is a mouthful. Yeah. I've never heard that last name before.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, Louis was a father of two. He was divorced, but according to his ex-wife, still very involved in his children's lives. Louis had been in a car accident that left him without use of one side of his body, and he also suffered some mental delays as a result of the accident as well. So when Pam approached Louis, you know, she was kind of able to prey on his vulnerability. Mm-hmm. She lured him to her home and called 911. While she said to the dispatcher, there's an intruder in my house. And Louis said, come with me. We're going to get Russ's money. And then she shot Louis fatally 5 times. Yeah. So she had conned him into thinking he's just reenacting some lines. And then she legit shoots him. Just so the dispatcher would hear it on the phone. And wow, when you hear the actual call, it's so obvious that this is what's happening. Because she's like, there's a man in my house. I mean, it's so dead. Like, there's no panic, you know, right? And he's not angry. He's like, okay, you know.
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
And she's just telling him, and then she just shoots him. She's like a cold-hearted biatch.
Yeah, she is. So then she plants a plastic bag in Lewis's pocket that had a note that read, follow Pam, kill her. Make it look like Betsy. Take her to Woodpile behind Russ's house. I mean, she's like, I'm just going to spell it out how this whole thing happened. So crazy. Okay. The bag also contained $900 bills. When the police arrived on the scene, Pam told them that the man had held her at knife point in her car and she was able to knock it out of his hand, run into her house as he followed her. And that's when she grabbed the gun, called 911, and she thought she saw a man that fit Russ Faria's description in a van parked on the street waiting for him. You know, but she wasn't sure, right?
Right.
I mean, the balls on Pam to try to frame Russ again.
Again.
He had served 3.5, he had to serve 3.5 years in prison, you know, in between the first trial and the second trial.
Because they didn't let him out on bail.
Well, no, he was out on bail during the trial, but he was convicted. So it took that long for him to get the second trial. Yeah.
Wow.
So the other thing that you just got to love about Pam is that she had like some leftover carpet, you know, what mm-hmm. do you do with that leftover carpet? You keep it in a roll in your garage, right? Well, she decided to cut a big square of it and lay it down on top of her carpet, which makes like no sense. So she had carpet on top of carpet, but I mean, the conclusion is basically that she did that so that blood from the murder she was about to commit would not soak through to her regular carpet.
Like, I mean,
like, wow. She's got balls.
Did it work? Did it not go through?
I don't know. I think it worked. So.
Yeah. But I was thinking it might, because she probably tried it out with some red wine.
Maybe so. But the investigators thought it was weird. Like, who has carpet on top of carpet? Right?
Well, I know somebody that does that. You could probably think about who does it. But I know.
But very no, close to me. I can't imagine. She probably has rugs on top of carpet. Not like, this is actual carpet.
Well, it's not actual carpet, but it's something. I could see her doing it, but I don't think that anybody else would.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it didn't take long for police to realize that they were dealing with the infamous Pam Hupp. You know, I mean, the Pam Hupp, Betsy Russ story was a big deal around there.
Yeah.
So everything was suspect, you know. So they knew who they were dealing with, but it took them a minute to put the pieces together because it's so bizarre. But when they did, I mean, Pam was so busted. So sadly, what happened was they were able to identify Lewis by his fingerprints because he didn't have any ID on him. And they went to tell his mother, who had just filed a missing persons report on her disabled son, you know, the scenario in which he had been found, you know, killed, right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's not even possible. Lewis can hardly hold a spoon, let alone wield a knife. And that's when Carol came forward and told them about her experience with Pam posing as the Dateline producer. And that's when it all came into focus. And it really helped that Carol had Pam's ass on video from her driveway in the car, you know?
Yeah.
So Pam also was cooked because she had gone to the Dollar Tree that morning and picked up cleaning supplies and the knife that she planted on Lewis, which apparently this particular knife is only sold at the Dollar Tree. By the way, who buys a... You shouldn't be buying your knives at the Dollar Tree.
A $1 knife? How long is that going to last?
Oh my God. Cheapskate, right? I frequent the Dollar Tree. But you shouldn't be buying your knives there. Okay?
It's not...
Listen.
It's like a one and done.
It's a one and done thing. But at least go to Walmart and get your knife, people. Okay?
Sure.
Anyways, so her...
My knives are from Walmart, actually.
Oh.
They're pretty good.
Okay. Her cell phone data also placed her at Lewis's house for 4 minutes. Okay, so like, how do you explain that? This random guy followed you or whatever, but you had been at his house for 4 minutes before, you know?
Yeah.
It's looking bad.
Not.
Okay. And the hundies that she planted on Lewis matched sequentially to the bills that she had stashed in her house.
Mm.
They treated her whole house like a crime scene. So they went through all her shit.
Oh, ironic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a real difficult coinkydink to explain. Right? Like, what are the chances?
Yeah.
Sequentially. So they had put all the pieces together of the puzzle as to why she would stage an attempted murder on her and murder Lewis within a week. So they brought her down to the station to tell her what they knew. Pam's reaction was arrogant, as always. But clearly she knew she was like, fuzzucked, because she took a ballpoint pen and went in the bathroom and stabbed herself in the neck and wrists with it, which was like eerily similar to what she had done to Betsy.
Yeah.
After she was given medical attention, they locked her ass up and charged her with Lewis Gumpenberger's murder. She ended up taking an Alfred plea to avoid the death penalty and spend life at Missouri State Prison, Chillicothe. I'm probably mispronouncing it. So if you don't know what an Alford plea is, it's where you admit there's enough evidence to prosecute you, but you don't admit guilt.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think this is bullshit, that she never really admitted guilt, but Pam's such a narcissist. I can't see her ever really doing that anyways. And I think her plea deal saves Lewis's family from having to go through a trial, and she's locked up forever. So isn't that the point?
Yeah.
But guess what? She might actually still get the death penalty because that DA that was running for office using Pam as a big part of his platform to show why the current DA needed to get the boot, well, he won. And he reopened the Betsy Faria murder case and charged Pam and has stated that he will be seeking the death penalty, but the trial hasn't begun yet.
Oh.
Yeah, so crazy. So there is also now an open investigation into the death of her mother. You know, so Pam's got 99 problems, right?
Yeah, I think she's going down to Chinatown.
Yeah. So the latest on her is after she was charged with Lewis's murder, her husband divorced her. He has since remarried and still owns the home where she killed Lewis.
Oh.
I know. I would ditch the house, dude.
I would too.
Right. Pam has a job in the prison as a tutor to those inmates that are trying to complete their GEDs. Joel Schwartz, the attorney that represented Russ, co-wrote a book about Betsy called Bone Deep. I read it. I give it an 8.
Only, that's pretty good.
Well, I it's really good. But I give it an 8 only because, you know, the Dateline series and the scripted series are, you know, they're so good.
Yeah.
So I would recommend them, you know, more. I mean, but read the book if you want, like, the real nitty-gritty details. Obviously, he's doing real well for himself these days. You know, he's like this hero. I mean, it looks great for a defense attorney to get somebody off at the second trial, right? Okay, so he's doing great for himself, unlike the DA that prosecuted Russ. I watched an interview with her. She hates Joel. I mean, she hates him so much. She blames him for continuing to bring up allegations of the prosecutorial misconduct. And she says she has been cleared of all that. And so he should just let it go. She says that she wishes she had never run for DA and that this case ruined her life. And she just went off the evidence that she had. So what do I think? I don't think she probably made a conscious decision to prosecute an innocent man, but it seems like she had tunnel vision, and Joel makes a lot of good points about the evidence she ignored and manipulated. So I think she probably earned a bit of a guilty conscience.
Yeah, I think that's it too. And here's the thing is these DAs oftentimes just want to win.
Yes, and I think so, she let that get the best of her. It was her first big case. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that they do because I think a lot of people are put in prison because there were oversights of actual evidence that they just don't want to see because it doesn't fit the narrative. And so we just get rid of that evidence and take in what we have so that we get a win.
Right.
And I hate that when they walk off, they consider it a win because it's like, actually,
no,
it's not. Yeah, nothing is a win in a criminal trial. It's just that you hopefully put away the right person.
Right. Yeah.
And when you don't, then you should feel bad and she should feel bad.
Yeah.
And if it ruined her career, maybe it should have, because she put away the wrong person.
Well, I will tell you, in addition to having her ego and reputation take a beating as this case lives on and on through Dateline and the series now, you know, she's also having to relive a period of her life when she had a really bad haircut. So she is an attractive lady, because I watched a recent interview with her. Okay. But at the time of the Betsy trial, she had one of those haircuts like Kate Gosling in the early days. You remember that kind of like shaved in the back?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. Okay.
But it's just, it's not a good look. It never was. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think when she sees the actress that is now portraying her, now rocking that haircut, I mean, it's going to sting.
She's like, oh, gosh. You know, I did look have at a crazy like... haircut like that. Not like that, but I did something weird in third grade, and I could never live that down.
Well, at least you were in third grade.
Yes, thankfully, I was in third grade and not, you know, 23.
Yeah. She's really got to be thinking, what was I thinking with the hair?
Well, she is, for sure.
She Don't you is.
Think Kate is still, we're still thinking that too. Like,
yes,
my God.
I think Kate is so gorgeous now with long hair.
Oh, I knew it. Even when she was on that show and rocked that weird haircut, I was like, girlfriend, you have such a pretty face. Let's, you know, not do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as far as Betsy's daughters go, they are grown and have families of their own. They still have not spoken to Russ. But they did their first interview in years, and they said that they wished he would forgive them for what they said at the trial, that they were just kids and were manipulated, and they are just very sorry for all of it. I mean...
And has he not forgiven them?
No, he still hasn't spoken to them. And, like, he was their stepdad from the time they were little girls.
Wow.
And you can see, I mean, they were told they had to get justice for their mom, that, you know, all signs pointed to him. You know, they were just teenagers.
You know, I can totally see a stepdad doing that. And I can see how the kids still feel like they're part, you know, he was part of their life for so long. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like adults don't realize how crucial they are in children's lives. And so, yeah.
Yes, I wish that he would forgive them, because, I mean, they lost the girls
are
the victims. They lost both their parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is.
And children are so easily manipulated, you know?
Totally. Right? I mean, everyone was. No one suspected Pam during the first trial, right?
I mean, they didn't know that they were lesbian lovers at that time.
No. Right?
So, I mean, it had they known they were lesbian lovers, it might have even looked more sus.
It's just all so bananas. Okay. So let me tell you about Russ now. He has love in his life, and you're not going to believe who with.
Who?
Badass Carol with the video camera in front of her house.
Oh, no, she's it.
Yeah. They connected through all the, you know, Pam frenzy stuff, and are now they're engaged.
Holy moly. Yeah. Wow. It makes sense. They have something to talk about.
They sure do. And like I told you, she seems great. I thoroughly enjoyed her. So, you know, good for them. Maybe she'll get him to forgive his stepdaughters.
I hope so.
So lastly, I just wanted to say that this case is so captivating because Pam is such a conniving, curious character. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, she killed a disabled man without a care in the world, as well as Betsy. And I just don't want to not emphasize that she's a total fucking monster.
She is.
Yeah.
And if they get her mom, she
I don't know. I mean, don't you kind of think that they're like, so they say there's an open investigation, but like how the lady was fucking old.
Yeah, they're not probably going to like solve
and
it, but
Pam is already serving life and possibly death now.
No, but
so
that's what I mean,
like, I'm kind of like, well, maybe we can just let it go. Plus, it sounds like no one really cared about, like, it sounds like Pam's mom was a real bitch.
Well, dude, this is probably what happened to Pam.
Yeah.
Right?
100% I mean, is what happened to Pam.
Yeah. However, if she did kill her mom, I think, doesn't that make her a serial killer if she's...
Oh, killed? If you've three people, she's a serial killer. Totally. Yeah.
And she probably, had she gotten away with all this, I could see her going on to many years of killing.
I think there was definitely no stopping her.
Yeah.
I think one of the mistakes that she made, too, is so she was walking out of court at one of the trials or whatever, you know, and this Dateline producer had reached out to her, like, can you give us an, you know, give us an interview or give us an updated picture at least, you know, whatever. She said to the camera, she saw the Dateline crew and she said, say hi to Kathy. And it... That creeps them out, right? Because they're following cases of murderers. And so they were like, I mean, people are really captivated with this woman. She walks around. She always has a big gulp in her hand, which I
from
love.
From 7-Eleven?
Yeah, I love a fountain drink, right? I don't treat myself to a fountain drink nearly enough. Pam did. She always walked into court with a big gulp, you know?
She's what was in the big gulp? Was it Diet Coke or was it actual Coke?
I don't know.
What kind of drinker is she?
Good question.
Dr. Pepper?
If it's Diet Dr. Pepper, then go Pam, right?
I bet you she's a real Dr. Pepper drinker.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Straight up sugar Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew. Maybe Mountain Dew.
That would be super crazy.
I know. I think it was Mountain Dew. I'm taking that Dr. Pepper back.
I haven't had a Mountain. That's probably what made her commit all the murders.
I know. That's Mountain Dew. It's got weird food coloring. It's got more caffeine than any of the other ones. I think it's a wacky drink.
I haven't had a Mountain Dew since high school, I'm sure.
I can't even remember.
I'll bet it doesn't sound like it would go bad with tequila, though.
You know what is the best is Fresca.
That's zero calorie. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I yummy. Do that. Yeah, that's what we do. But we're I would like caffeine with my tequila.
I know. We're on a shortage of Fresca. You can't get it anymore.
Well, I like the Spindrift. Do you ever try that? So good.
Yeah, but it's not sweet enough.
It doesn't have all that aspartame and bad shit in it.
I know. You could get the Zevia.
Yeah, the Zevia is good.
Yeah, that's good too. The Zevia ginger beer is really good.
Super good.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So that's a WAP.
That is a WAP.
We are not going to Crime Con. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we're
there's
not going.
That. We are and we have already committed and we will 100% be there at the True Crime Podcast Convention in Dallas. It's August 27th or 28th that weekend. I will figure out how to tell you guys more about that soon, but we will be there if you want to just Google True Crime Podcast.
Oh, my God. I'm coming to Texas twice.
You're coming in April and August, the 2A months.
2As. Okay.
And if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, Housewives of True Crime, if you want more of us, we are on Patreon every single week, patreon.com/Housewives of True Crime. And we would love your support there. That helps us greatly. And Gretchen gives you one bonus crime.
That's true. I'm really excited for this week's Patreon tab because I'm not going to make it like a whole crime, but I do want to talk about this missing friend of Sherry Papini.
And
that whole case and just kind of unpack all of that. And turns out Sherry and Keith had some contact with this family. and she faked her kidnapping and that's
went
pretty
to dinner.
Yeah, and went to dinner at the parents' house after.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're gonna talk about a lot of interesting things.
Yeah. So follow us there, patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. And we're also on Facebook. We have a private group where we chit chat a lot. Housewives of True Crime group. So there's a lot of us out there if you guys want more. And thank you so much. If you have not rated us on Apple Podcasts, please do. If you can on Spotify, we love that also, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Until next week, guys. Clink.
Clink, clink. Clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.